Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So, this last week, on one of the afternoons where it wasn't raining, I was out in my backyard scraping the side of my shed, working to remove paint that's probably pushing 20 years old. And as I was doing that, I was reflecting upon many things, not the least of which was that I had not only the inclination, but the strength to actually get out there and scrape my shed. Because after the last couple of years I've had with my cardiac adventures and then the lymphoma diagnosis, I'm a little tired of being sick. Now, I'm not saying that I'm banging on all eight cylinders again, but I am feeling much better than I have in many months. Actually, a few weeks ago, I had reviewed my job description, and I'm looking through it, and I'm going, nope, haven't been doing that, nope, not doing, nope. And I realized then how depressed I've been feeling. But I suppose, you know, when your body's tried to kill you a couple of times in 24 months, I can kind of understand that. But I'm not saying that I have an abundance of energy, but I am saying that I am feeling much, much better. Anyway, so I'm scraping away at the side of my shed, and I'm thinking about all of the changes, all of the improvements, the modifications that we've made to our house in the 15 years that we've been here, because our house is not the same today as when we moved in. Since moving in, we've installed new windows and we've insulated the walls, both of which have done an amazing difference in stopping the wind from blowing through our house. We installed a couple of new exterior doors. We put new flooring throughout the first floor. We put a new roof on our back porch. We replaced rotted siding. We rebuilt and finished the enclosed back porch as well. We've painted the exterior of the house a couple of times, actually. We replaced our old oil burner furnace with a new efficient gas furnace, and so that we now also have central air conditioning. This last fall, we repaved our nearly 40-year-old macadam driveway. And finally, this spring, we got a deck built off the backside of our house, something that we've wanted to do since we moved in. Now, some of those things that we did were necessary for the ongoing care of our house, which is pushing 200 years old. It was built 1824. My wife likes old things. If we hadn't done some of those things, like replacing the windows or insulating the walls, well, we would be uncomfortable, but the house would still be livable. Other things, though, like painting the bare wood or replacing the rotting siding, well, if we hadn't done those, the health of the house itself, that would have been in jeopardy. Other things, putting new flooring on the first floor, building a deck, well, those are nice things, but they weren't necessary at all to the health, the function of the house. We were able to do those things in part because Mary Ann and I both work full-time. We were also able to do those things because we took money out of savings, and like many of us, we took out a home equity loan. I'm not going to say that we are not independently wealthy, but we have enough. We could argue cautiously that my spouse and I have an abundance. We're not in want for food or shelter. We have a roof over our head, beds to sleep on. The electricity comes on when we flip the switch. We're able to pay our bills every month pretty much on time. Like the majority of Americans, we are in debt, but so far that debt has been manageable. We have enough. We could even say we have abundance. Our reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel, it's the telling of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, it's really way more than 5,000, but But this story this morning is not the status quo of how things have been going in Matthew's gospel up until this point. So far in Matthew's gospel, we've heard stories about Jesus healing people, talking to people. Jesus has calmed the storm. He's walked on waters. He's cast demons out of people. He's given sermons to presumably large gatherings of people. The Sermon on the Mount, that comes from Matthew's gospel. But after all of that, then, he has sent those people away. He said, hey, thanks for coming. See you all later. He has not fed them. So why is he here suddenly saying to the disciples, you give them something to eat? Now, we don't know anything really about this gospel story other than what we get in our text. I do kind of think, though, in some respect, Jesus is testing the disciples, wanting to see how they're going to react. And I have to be honest, I don't think they reacted all that well. Come on, Jesus, it's getting late. This place is deserted. Send these people away. Let them take care of themselves. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Which, in my mind, then raises the question, how close were those other villages? Did those who were gathered there to see Jesus, did they have the money to go out and purchase food? Did those villages have enough food available for people to buy, even? Well, let me ask you this. Has God ever put a challenge in your life? And if so, how have you reacted? Now, this event, this healing and feeding, was for the disciples, once again, a time of faith growth. It was a time of change for the disciples. It was not their status quo. In their experience so far with Jesus, when you got a large crowd together, that's great. Those folks wanted to come out and hear Jesus, fantastic. They wanted to watch him heal others. They wanted to be healed by him. They wanted to listen to whatever he has to say, which is really unbelievably cool. But now the disciples are supposed to feed the people? This mass of humanity? I can almost read it right there in the scripture itself. The disciples thinking to themselves, feed them? Are you kidding me, Jesus? But I think this story allows us to look at something familiar in a new way. To look at the status quo and see it in a new light. Did you pay attention to verse 21? Those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Yes, I'm looking at all of you. Apparently, the guys were the only ones who were kept track of. How many women were there? How many kids? How many wives, mothers, sisters, aunts? We don't know. I'm willing to guess, though, there was at least half again as many women and children as there were men. And let me say this. I have rarely met a mother who has gone out to some large event with her child who has not somewhere on her body had food for that child. So I think that we had two things going on here. We had Jesus multiplying the loaves and fish and handing them out. I also think we had women and other folks sharing the food that they had with those around them, giving of their own abundance to people they knew, to maybe even total strangers. So how many of us here have abundance? And if we do, what are we doing with it? In this story, in this telling, in Matthew's gospel here, he is reminding us once again that God is with us. God is with us in the good stuff when everything is as it should be. God is with us in the lousy stuff when the darkness starts to come in, when we're hungry and tired and sick. In this telling of the story, Matthew reminds us that faith brings about change. Faith brings change in our attitude. Faith brings change in our understanding. Faith is change. Life is change. Whether it's repainting a shed or replacing worn-out windows or adding on a new deck, whether that change is getting veins moved around in your body so that your heart's going to keep working, or having a device installed so that doctors can plug in drugs directly into you to fight the illness within. Change is moving around a piece of furniture in our worship space so that we can better understand God is here. God is in the midst of us. God is here in the midst of us to help us understand that God brings to us life and love and joy and strength and grace and forgiveness. And God gives all of that to each and every one of us abundantly. So that as we are filled with God's abundance, let us go forth sharing that abundance with all whom we encounter.